Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
To be great, we can't be small. We have to be as big as the values that define America. And we are a big-hearted, fair-minded country. We teach our children that this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Not just for people who look a certain way, or worship a certain way, or love a certain way. For all, indivisible.
Welcome to Hillary's America. Now, the number one question for me today and for you is, what do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? And do we need a shady, hateful woman as president? Now, I mostly fear, if she becomes president, that there will be an executive order forcing everyone to speak more slowly. So the mentally defective and the immigrants who do not speak English very well can follow every word. And there will be federal penalties for anyone who speaks too quickly. That will be considered speechism if she becomes president. Speechism is a very hurtful act, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. In a Hillary America, you cannot speak quickly in English. It will be considered white privilege if you speak too quickly, and it will be seen as an insult to our immigrants from non-English-speaking countries. So what is it that you fear the most about this shady, hateful woman as a president? I told you the other day, knowing that she's surrounded by characters that should be in prison, should have been in prison a long time ago. Do I have to name their names? I won't, because they'll sue me. But just figure it out. All of those who have used the government as a weapon against their political enemies, those who continue to plot to steal as much money as they can while calling it fairness. What do you think this gang will do to America should they take over the power once again? Because remember, this time is the last go-around. This is their last dip at the, let us say, fountain of plenty. I fear that the first thing this Clinton gang will do will be restricting speech. I've told you that the other day. Speech is number one to a free society. Number one is speech. Make no mistake about it, boys and girls. If they can restrict speech by imposing false rules such as the Fairness Doctrine, for example. As you well know, the Fairness Doctrine is a misnomer because all of the television channels, without exception, are extremely left-wing. All of the radio stations are extremely left-wing. There are only four or five people who are conservatives nationally, four, five, six, and locally, maybe a dozen. But that's too much for a dictatorship, as you well know. And so we will need a fairness doctrine under Hillary Clinton, because we are a big-hearted, big, fair-minded country. And we need to be together and to love each other a certain way. And in order to love each other a certain way, we must make sure that hate speech is not permitted in America. And I will define what hate speech is, because I am Hillary Clinton. So number one, speech goes. And then you say, well, okay, there's still the internet. We could go to the internet for streaming radio, Savage. You could always go to streaming radio. Others could go to streaming if they take you off the air. Well, that will be controlled too. They've controlled streaming in Canada. They've controlled it in Europe, where the fascists are running Europe with an iron skirt, not even iron hoops. Merkel is a descendant of the fascist regimes that ran Germany in the past, but you're confused because you think that she's a liberal. She is a descendant of the Nazi party in terms of how she is ruling Germany. The only thing missing, she has the exact same policies of squeezing out all opposition. They're not allowed to speak in Germany. They're castigated in Germany. They are investigated and attacked by the federal police in Germany. The only thing missing are the internment camps. They have the equivalent of the SS in Germany, and they're called something else. Well, that's coming to America. Now, all of you are sitting there with loaded guns, and what you're saying to yourself is, oh, yeah, I'll give up my gun. I'll have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands. You'll repeat that great speech. You know what, my friends? That's absurd. That's ludicrous. It's not going to happen. You're going to roll over like the patsy you are. You're going to roll over like Richard Simmons. You're going to just give up your gun. The minute the government says that if you don't give up your gun, you're going to be arrested or penalized, you're going to give up your gun. You know it and I know it. So don't sit there and pretend that you're Roy Rogers or John Wayne. You're not. You're just a scared guy with a gun in your closet, and you're going to give your gun up. And so you're going to lose your Second Amendment, then you're going to lose your First Amendment, then you're going to lose your freedom of assembly, wherever that one falls. I suppose that's in the first four. I don't have them in front of me to show you how smart I am. I don't have a copy of the Constitution sitting in front of me and read from it. I can easily find it. It doesn't matter what amendment it is. You understand that I understand who she is. You understand that if she does, by chance, become the president, and of course, we don't know what will happen. We know that she's stocking with Obama. They are stocking America with as many illegal fish as they can into the pond in order to dilute the vote of the legitimate fish. They're putting an illegitimate fish into the pond. And I'll say it again, illegitimate, illegal fish are being thrown into the pond in order to make sure that your vote is diluted. That's exactly what this evil man in the White House has been doing from the day he started, right out of the starting gate. So as I say, welcome to Hillary's America. And now I'd like to ask you this question. I know what Trump will do if he loses. Why, he'll go back to being a super successful businessman. And if Hillary loses, well, we know what she will do if she loses. She'll go back to doing what she knows best, pay for play in the halls of government. But I ask you this. What would old Bernie the 30s communist do if he loses? What is Bernie the communist good for? What can he do for a living? I thought about it, and I figured he could become a greeter at one of Fidel Castro's hotels in Cuba wearing a Trotsky outfit. That might attract some tourism. Or he could go into a Bernie's seltzer water franchise. One glass and you're hooked on carbon dioxide. Try Bernie's Bubbles, the progressive way to gas yourself. But I ask you, what will Bernie do when he loses, now that he's got so much attention from all of the losers of America? What is he going to do, go back to Vermont? That's too small a pond for old Bernie right now. And now, my friends, I open it up to callers on the Savage Nation. 855-407-282 on a serious note. What do you fear most about a Clinton presidency is the most serious question of the day. Because let's make no bones about it. There's no mistake about it. We all know what's at stake. We know she's a monster. We know she has a fascistic tendency. We know she uses liberal platitudes in order to, let us say, ensnare the weak-minded into thinking she's actually for them when she's only for herself. And we also know that she's capable of the worst possible acts. All you've got to do is look back upon the past of the Clinton years. And the litany is almost endless of crimes, misdemeanors, and deaths. Weird deaths surrounding the Clintons. So don't assume that she's going to be this benign, strong lady. It's going to be something like you've never seen in America, in the minds of millions of people who have a brain. WMAL, Washington, Art, you're the first up from Washington, D.C. What do you fear the most about a Clinton presidency?
Well, I just want to make a comment about, you know, I was watching The Sopranos. About the third season Sopranos, where all the mob wives were sitting around at a luncheon, and they compared themselves to Hillary Clinton, putting up with their husbands, you know, running around doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that episode, but what does that kind of have to do with her?
And it just reminded me, you know, we're going to have a woman up there you know, who's, you know, her husband's doing everything he's doing just like a mobster, you know? And it's just like they are mobsters, you know? They operate the same way as, you
so
know.
So you feel that it's a Clinton crime family in plain English? All right. I don't think you're alone in that. I think someone wrote a book on the subject, by the way. What do you fear the most about Hillary Clinton? Now, I could turn it around and have the foolhardy, the foolish, the weak-minded, the potheads call and tell me what they love about Hillary, but what are they going to tell me? What is she going to bring to America that we haven't seen with Obama? He is flooding America with illegal aliens, not all of whom will become Albert Einstein. I cannot explain to you in great detail, if you don't already know it, that not all immigrants are equal. And that not all immigrants who come here are going to make great lives for themselves. That the majority of immigrants we are getting, the illegals, will never amount to anything in this country. They are coming here as wards of the state from the day they cross the border. They have become wards of the state. And the criminal regime in the White House is spending $20,000 to settle each refugee. $20,000 on every illegal alien they can get their greedy hands on. They become eligible for cash welfare, Medicaid, and food stamps. Now, maybe your grandfather fought in a war for America. He will get less than $20,000 a year from the gangster in the White House. But you see, there's not enough money in the world for Obama to spend. He keeps printing it. And federal taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $20,000 just to settle each so-called refugee and each so-called asylum seeker. They will get immediately cash. They will get welfare. They will get food stamps. They will get free housing. They will get medical aid, according to a new report entitled The Refugee Industry. And as I told you and explained to you in great detail in Government Zero, some of the most prominent Republicans are connected to businesses that are profiting from these so-called refugees. Why, even the Koch brothers, according to my research, are involved in private rehousing industries for these wonderful refugees from Central America, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-282. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. So Trump shattered the Republican primary vote record by 1.4 million votes, and that's an historic figure. He's attracting more voters for the Republican side than has been seen ever, by the way, in primaries. And that tells us something that you need to know. Forget the delegates for the moment. What's important is the excitement he is creating in you, the listener, you, the voter. Remember, he started with 16 candidates against him. That was more candidates than any major party in history, and he beat them all. Remember in the beginning when he appeared on Michael Savage show, he said, I asked him, who do you want for VP? When he said, first I have to beat all these people. He has more wins than any other Republican or Democrat candidate in this year's race with 36 wins. He has more primary wins with 33. And by the way, he surpassed the number of delegates needed to win the Republican nomination for president even a couple of weeks ago. And many of you Cruz bots were saying, oh, we're going to fight him at Cleveland and this and that. That's over. That's over. He's done it. But he received 13,406,000 votes in the elections so far. As a result, Trump has more votes than any candidate in Republican history. And Trump shattered the previous record by 1.4 million votes. And that was with 17 candidates in the race. Now, let's compare that to G.W. Bush. G.W. Bush had 12 million votes in 2000. Did you know that? Trump has 13,400,000. That's a big difference. And the increase in Republicans coming out to vote is attributed only to Donald Trump, period, end of story. But if you go back in time and you look at a chart of people who actually went and voted in elections, it's very promising for Trump, and I think he could be president. I believe he could possibly win the presidency. And I say possibly because she owns the machine. She owns ABC, CBS, NBC. She owns MSNBC. She owns CNN. She owns Fox News, by and large. You know that, and I know that. Forget the Megyn Kelly antics. Forget Bill O'Reilly's pretense at being on the other side. You know that the boss tells them which side they're on. And we all know that Mr. Murdoch is on Hillary's side. Everyone's known that. He's an open borders guy. Everybody knows that as well. Anyone who knows the inside story. He's been for Hillary for well over a year now. So she owns the media. The media hates Donald Trump. Now, remember, Trump funded his own campaign during the primary season. And although these results are very impressive, he only spent a quarter of the amount of money as did Democrats Clinton and the seltzer man Sanders. And so, my friends, this is promising. And I hope that he wins. I hope that he saves our amendments. I hope the Bill of Rights stay for my lifetime. I hope you will want to live where there is a U.S. Constitution and a Bill of Rights that is not trampled upon by an evil empire. And I believe that the Clinton family is the most evil possibility for America. And if you want to talk about the Mexican heritage judge again, we can do that. We all know he's tied to La Raza. I explained it in great detail yesterday. Trump never said anything negative about Mexicans. He said that some of the Mexicans coming over the border are murderers and rapists. We all know that's true. Everyone's known that's true. Why is that such a big deal to say? Is it illegal to say that Muslims are known to be committing terror around the world? Is that now illegal? I know some of you are saying that the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association isn't connected to La Raza, the anti-white, anti-American group. But that would be like saying a KKK Lawyers Association isn't connected to the Ku Klux Klan. Just saying. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome to Hillary's America, where it will soon become a crime to speak at a cadence that may be considered offensive to those who are slow-witted or do not speak English very well. That's why she speaks so slowly. It's to make sure that all of the drug addicts and the new Americans can follow her every word. Yes, indeedy. Por la raza todo, fuera de la raza nada. Por la raza todo, fuera de la raza nada. Do you know what that means? That's the motto of La Raza. Por la raza todo, fuera de la raza nada. For the race, everything. Outside the race, nothing. And now we're supposed to believe that Judge Gonzalo Curiel is impartial in a case that is brought by a bunch of gonoffs from San Diego, class action thieves, who have gone out and trolled up people from the bottom of the mud to say that they went to Trump University and they didn't make a fortune, therefore Trump is a liar. I know many of you went to college and you didn't do too well. Does that mean you sue the university? Well, maybe. Maybe you should get the same shysters from San Diego, although there's plenty of shysters' cousins in New York, Washington, Detroit, Miami, Chicago, San Francisco. The shysters have proliferated across America. The class action shysters are fundamentally conducting a criminal activity. They should all be arrested under RICO Acts, as far as I'm concerned. But here they are. They go and troll up people. Oh, I went to Trump University, and I never got my money's worth. Therefore, he's a fraud. Maybe they're just not competent. Maybe they're stupid. Maybe there are people who went to Trump U and did well. I don't know the ins and outs of the case, but I do know the ins and outs of class action lawyers. We all know that they're the worst members of any society could ever imagine. They're below drug dealers. Because at least the drug dealer provides a service or a product rather for the money. I mean, I don't approve of the product, but they provide provide a product. They're not forcing you to use the drugs. Drug dealer provides the crack. You want it? Here it is. They're not making you take it. Drug dealer provides heroin. It's not making you take the heroin. Providing a product. A class action lawyer provides no product. He steals from everyone. He steals from legitimate corporations in the name of fairness. And then when he disperses the money he stole from the corporation, he keeps most of it and gives almost nothing, pennies to the people who he's gathered together under spurious circumstances in most cases. Yes, my friends, we're living in strange times. We're living in weird times, and they're going to get weirder if Hillary becomes president. And I'm asking you what you fear the most if she becomes president, because I have very rational concerns about this woman. It's not as though she is a woman of sterling character. It is not as though she is a woman who has, for example, been a doctor for many years and devoted herself to saving lives somewhere in Africa or in other regions of the world where people are lingering and suffering. It's not as though she was a scientist of some kind who discovered something. It's not as though she's a brilliant technologist who did something in the world of technology that we should take note of. It's not as though she's a famous professor of literature who added something to the language, to the literature of the language, to our culture. What has Hillary Clinton actually given the world? Why are you pretending you don't know what to expect from her? How can you repackage fruit from the rotten guava from the jungle floor as fresh fruit? You can't even refreeze it. The fact of the matter is, if you really analyze her record, it's really ugly. I don't understand how you can listen to her speak without screaming. This woman embraced the Arab Spring concept, which so far as I can tell, and I studied it, and I spent the whole chapter on it in Government Zero, the Arab Spring was created by someone who works for George Soros. I believe that I have traced it to Brzezinski.
Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Who was the failed national security advisor to none other than Jimmy Carter. Brzezinski wrote it. He was the architect of it under the direction, I believe, of the Soros Foundation. It was hand-carried to the world by Hillary Clinton. She owns it. Now, has the Arab Spring been good for the world or bad for the world? She melted down Libya. Libya is now flooding Europe with African refugees, courtesy of ISIS. Okay? Why would ISIS be flooding Europe with Muslim Africans to conquer Europe? Why are the Europeans not standing up to the Muslim African refugees? Because they've been beaten up by the communist leftists who are running all the European Union nations. That's number one. Hillary Clinton destroyed Libya. Hillary Clinton basically made the Arab Spring worse, made things much worse in the Middle East with the Arab Spring concept. She, if you remember, tried to bring down the Egyptian government after they threw out the corrupt, what was his, Muslim Brotherhood guy, whatever his name was. Who could remember these people? The people revolted in Egypt, the most populous Muslim nation on earth. And they threw out this guy from the Muslim Brotherhood who was ruling Egypt, trying to turn Egypt into another ISIS state. They got rid of him. Who tried to get him back in power? Hillary Clinton and John McCain. That's right. John McCain and Hillary Clinton worked hand in glove to try and get the Egyptian people to bring back the Muslim Brotherhood. They rejected them, though. So, my friend, she tried to destroy Egypt. She did destroy Libya. She destabilized Syria. She made the entire Middle East a gigantic mess, worse than it was. How in the world could you trust this woman with her finger on the nuclear bomb? How could you trust this woman? She's deranged. She has poor judgment. Look at her record. Forget it. I don't know her personally. It's not that I don't like her pantsuits or the dye job of her hair. I don't care about those things. I'm looking at the politics of the Clinton machine. They're not that smart. They're ruthlessly evil. They're ruthlessly clever. But that does not make for smart policy. And yet she has the nerve in clip number two to attack Trump on her very weaknesses. If you will listen carefully right now on The Savage Nation.
Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit to be president. And he just trying to build a wall between America and Mexico. He's trying to wall off Americans from each other. When he says, let's make America great again, that is code for let's take America backwards. Back to a time when opportunity and dignity were reserved for some, not all. Promising
okay, let's stop this. Let's stop listening to this propaganda. What the heck is she talking about? How does she get away with this, making millions of dollars a month selling her services, pay for play, her and her husband? And she's not a privileged white American. How do the people applaud her? Answer, drug, sex, and rock and roll. This is what it created. This is the sum total of the arc of drug, sex, and rock and roll. Here's where it ends. My friends, there's a lot to fear from a Hillary Clinton presidency. What is it that you fear the most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? John on KCMO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Let me please say what an honor it is to finally speak to you after years and years of listening to your program.
Well, listen while you still can, John. What's on your mind?
Well, listen to that screeching harpy right then, especially in that clip. I can tell you what I most fear. Groups, you know, of Islam, such as the Taliban and ISIS, have zero respect for women. Can you imagine what's going to happen when we have a democratic woman with such weakness and such... All hell's going to break loose. We will see San Bernardino and Fort Hood attacks times 20 in this country.
Well, especially since she will tell the FBI and the DHS under her command not to look at Muslims in any negative way and to only look at white, Christian, heterosexual males, especially those with guns, for terrorists.
Exactly. And I've been having some conversations with some people lately trying to get them to look at the facts of September 11th and look at those hijackers who changed this entire world, how we travel, our security, more than anybody else has in the history of
that's true. Humanity. They've already, they won. The hijackers on 9/11 actually won. They turned us all into prisoners. We let a bunch of, I don't know how to put it, minimum wage people control our lives. TSA, minimum wage individuals. Goons I would normally avoid on the street are now frisking me at an airport.
Exactly.
People I wouldn't even sit near in a restaurant. If they were in a restaurant, I would ask to be moved. They now have a right to go through my wallet and look at every credit card or every picture I have in my wallet. It happened to me the other day. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, but I want to continue to tell. I went through an airport the other day. Simple experience. We all do it. Nothing profound. Not a great stress, but it was a great stress. You see, I have a TSA pre-board. I paid for it. They know I'm an American who's not a terrorist. So with the TSA pre-board, you don't have to strip naked in front of strangers. You get to keep a shred of your dignity as the low-income, minimum-wage McDonald's workers frisk you. But they don't frisk you when you get the TSA pre-board. So you pay for it. You go through. They check, background check, blah, blah, blah. And so I give it to them. I get in the line. Oh, great. I don't have to take off my shoes, this, that. Some reason or other, they say to me, I'm sorry, sir, it's nothing you did, it's just random. You know what that means, right? It's just random, please step aside. So first I get the x-ray job. That's number one. I didn't need it, but I wasn't in the mood to start arguing. I don't want an x-ray, because that means that they do the equivalent of a Rikers Island on you. If you don't go for the x-ray, they get the Rikers Island guard out with a rubber glove. I didn't want that. I'm not into that. That's not my, So nevertheless, then he says to me, would you please take out everything from your pockets? I had nothing in there to begin with. Take out your wallet. Take out the wallet. And weirdly, the guy goes through every credit card in my wallet. I don't know what he was looking for. Why did he have to look at every credit card? Was he memorizing the numbers? I don't know, but he looked at every picture that I had of my family, every little thing I have in there, my prayer for travelers, which I carry. It was humiliating. So then he said, let me see your hat. Took my hat off, ran his finger around the hat band. What could have been in my hat band? I don't quite get it. I know they don't frisk illegal aliens coming in from Mexico or Guatemala the same way. In fact, they send a car to pick them up. They send a car to pick them up and give them $20,000 in benefits the first year. So the point was, they pulled me aside for reasons I will never understand, and this is a result of the Saudi hijackers from 9/11. They won. They turned us all into prisoners, but worse than that, here's the worst part of the win. They've made us all compliant to an overbearing government. We all now do what the government wants us to do in order to have the privilege of flying on a commercial airplane. You see what I'm saying to you? They made us give up our freedoms and our rights in order to fly on an airplane. That's a very, very sad situation. Because I would have had a different solution to the 9/11 hijacking. I said it right then. If you go back to my tapes from 2001 when it happened, it was a few days later. We were coming up with common sense answers. We're not the government. We could think. We said put doors in the cockpits and make them bulletproof. We said put gun, let the pilots carry guns. You remember how long it took the corrupt criminal government to let pilots carry guns? You remember how long it took the corrupt criminal government to build doors going into the pilots' cabin? You remember how long it took them? We also said, you know what? We all know this. That is certainly true that not all Muslims are terrorists. That's a well-known fact. But it's also embarrassingly true that most terrorists are Muslim. I didn't write that. A Muslim scholar wrote that in 2011. In 2001, excuse me. I can still find the quote. So I would say, don't do this to me. Do it to them. They want to fly, make them go on a separate line and let them get frisked. That's what I would have said. But then you have the mentality of the liberals. That would be racist. That would be unfair. Well, I think it's more unfair to make a general population of law-abiding citizens comply with the loss of their liberties. Wouldn't you, Mrs. Clinton? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We have breaking news that's very, very sad. This is breaking news out of central Tel Aviv. Muslim terrorists killed three people and wounded many others in a suspected terrorist shooting in central Tel Aviv's popular Sarona complex. I repeat again, Muslim maniacs went on a shooting spree in central Tel Aviv. They killed three Jews and they wounded many others in Tel Aviv, and we're waiting for an update. This occurred in the central Tel Aviv area of Sarona. It's a complex. The two attackers were arrested. One was shot. We don't know whether they'll be invited to the White House for a Presidential Medal of Freedom or allowed into America as asylum victims of Israeli oppression. But footage from the carnage showed an armed Israeli civilian firing back at one of the suspected vermin. According to unconfirmed reports by police, the two Muslim assailants had dressed up as ultra-Orthodox Jews. At least eight Jews were wounded, and they were evacuated to the nearby Ishilov Medical Center. The hospital later pronounced the deaths of three people and said one other casualty was in life-threatening condition, while four others were in serious condition. Well, I can read you more from the scene of chaos and carnage. But the fact of the matter is, it's a worldwide war going on and has been for, let us see now, you think since 9/11? You think it started 9/11? No, my friends. This war was started 1,400 years ago by the followers, and I mean the faithful followers of Muhammad. The most devout followers of Muhammad are following the original edicts of their prophet. And if you think I'm making this up, for effect, you're 100% wrong. Because I know the history of the area, and I know how an unknown tribe in a small period of time conquered so much territory. The most amazing story of conquest in the whole history of the human race is that of the conquests, the early conquests after the death of Muhammad. In only 25 years, they conquered Persia, Arabia, Egypt. My friends, they did it not through love, not through the gospel of Jesus, but through murder, torture, fire,
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Breaking news is not even on the Drudge Report. It's on almost no sites. It's hard to find. I'm sure you see it on the Bleed to Lead networks. They've gone away from the transgender issue for a few seconds to report on the wonders of diversity in Israel. The Muslim terrorists were dressed up as Orthodox Jews. They were sitting at the popular restaurant Max Brenner. They jumped up with their machine guns, and they killed, at this time, four and wounded many. Gunfire from several different directions. Now, the worst part of this story is occurring here in America, where the vile MSNBC, the anti-American, anti-Jewish network, MSNBC, is reporting that the Israelis got what they deserved. If you can believe this, I'm telling you the truth. MSNBC had a so-called spokesmouth on, who we investigated. He's of Egyptian ancestry. He blamed the Israelis for their own death. This is something that you would have heard during Hitler's Germany, that the Jews got what they deserved, but you're hearing it again. And by the way, if you think that this Egyptian-American journalist is alone, you're mistaken. If you would listen to the whisperings, even the shoutings inside the Bernie campaign headquarters, you'd hear the same thing. Oh, yeah. It's the standard mantra of the left, that the Israelis got what they deserved because they took over the territories. Oh, I've heard it my whole life. Meaning the only good Jew is a dead Jew. To the left, the only good Jew is a dead Jew. And to the left, the only good American is a displaced American. There's not much more I can say about this terrorist attack in Israel, other than they let their guard down for a second and many of them are dead. But it connects to the biggest story of the Muslim war against the entire West. And that is the amazing story of conquest that I've told you before. It's one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the history of the human race. And it began just about the time of Muhammad's death in 632, and by 656, the empire had spread across such a large area. It's hard to believe this was before, as you well know, air force or mobile mechanical armies. And they did it in the same manner they're doing it now, through small armies committing terror. Small armies committed terror across these regions and converted vast heaps of individuals. The Byzantine army was smashed at the Battle of the Yarmouk, which is a tributary of the Jordan. That was in 634. The Emperor Heraclius, his energy was knocked out by dropsy, and his resources were exhausted by the Persian Wars, saw his new conquests in Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, and the rest all fall almost without resistance to the invading Muslims. And then large elements of these populations converted to Islam. Then the Muslims turned east. The Persians, at the time, were not Muslim. And they had a great general by the name of Rustam. They had a great, great elephant and a great army with a force of elephants, the Persians did. And for 3 days, they fought off the Arabs at Qadisiyya. And then eventually they gave up and ran away from the battlefield in 637. What happened next was the conquest of all of Persia. And then the people converted to Islam. Again, not through love, not through the gospel of Jesus, but through hate, murder, pillage, and rape. And then the Muslims were not satisfied. Their bloodlust continued and pushed them far into western Turkestan and eastward until it met the Chinese. Egypt, at the time, was not Muslim, but it fell almost without resistance to the new conquerors, who were full of the fanatical belief in the sufficiency of the Quran. They believed in only one book. And what they did next was astonishing. They burnt the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library to the ground. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar to all of you lame-brained progressives out there? Because you're living through history. You're living through a new crusade, but you don't know it. You're being hoodwinked by the Democrat socialist pacifist patsies. But it continued. The tide of conquest poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and then into Spain. The Muslims invaded Spain in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached 10 years later in 720. In 732, the Arabs advanced to the center of France, and then something happened. The Arabs were stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers and thrown back as far as the Pyrenees again. The conquests of Egypt gave the Muslims a navy, a fleet. And for a time, it looked as though the Muslims would take Constantinople. They made repeated sea attacks between 672 and 718, but Constantinople did not fall. And I'll pause right there because, my friends, what happened then in these 25 years is being repeated right now in front of your eyes. But instead of fighting them with full force, we actually have a Muslim sympathizer in the White House. Many think that he's on the other side. He has so weakened our military. He has so deballed our military. He has so degraded our Air Force. He has so destroyed our Navy. He has so destroyed the morale of our military. But more importantly, he has told the military that they are racist if they think that Islam is anything but a religion of peace. And so when our boys go into combat, they are intimidated before they even pull the trigger. And I have to tell you how wars end when one side has no hesitation to pull the trigger and the other side is hesitant to pull the trigger. Now, I could take this little history lesson that I've given you, which you can check for facts. You can fact check it. If you don't like what you heard, it's too damn bad. Facts are facts. History is history. If you don't like what you heard, put your head in the sand and go vote for Hillary Clinton, because she will no doubt increase the Muslim advances around the world through her absurd stupidity. Her idiotic progressive nature and mentality will increase the Muslim invasion of America and increase the Muslim invasion of Europe and increase the Muslim invasion of Africa. That's my opinion. The reverse is true with Donald Trump. He will stop dead the Muslim invasion of America. He will stop the Muslim invasion of Europe, and he just might save Western civilization. That's one man's opinion. If you don't like it, tell me why. How's that? The phone number here is 855-407-282. The number one question in the first hour was, what do you fear most about a Hillary presidency? If you just joined us, there's an awful lot to fear, believe me. Fear is her middle name. If you actually would bother looking at the reign of terror that was conducted under the guise of peace, love, and a great economy during those 8 years that the Clintons debased America, I'm sure you could find the names of the dead because the landscape was littered with them. The fact of the matter is there was one scandal after another. They were all real. But because of ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN at the time, they were able to get away with it. You see, they followed the adage of the 60s. They get by with a little help from their friends. They get high with a little help from their friends. And I'm going to take a break right now on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
What we have confirmed is that it was a terrorist attack that took place here in Tel Aviv this evening. Two suspects, as far as I know, have been apprehended at the scene. I can confirm that one of them was shot, and I'm not sure what his condition is.
There it is. Two suspected Palestinian terrorists were killed, killed at least four people, wounded many, many others in a terror attack tonight in central Tel Aviv's popular Sarona complex. The two Palestinian Muslims were dressed up as Orthodox Jews. They jumped up with their guns and shot unarmed individuals. 10 people are in nearby Ishalav Medical Center. 3 of them died. 1 is hanging on life support. 5 others in serious condition. 3 in moderate to light condition. And that's what happens when you let your guard down and think that the Palestinians ever want peace with the Jews. That's what happens when you think that you don't need a wall. That's what happens when your brains are cooked on marijuana. That's what happens when you think that there are people who don't know history. That's what happens when you don't know history yourself. That's what happens when you think that if only the Jews would give back Judea and Samaria, this would not happen. That's what happens when you have the ignoramuses in America and Europe who have everything upside down. So we have Europe and America committing suicide. The Israelis are still alive and fighting for their lives because they understand on an existential basis that there are those who would destroy them literally within a second if they could. We live in a dreamland here in America. And so, instead of building up our Air Force to become the great pounding Air Force it once was, we have the insanity of an Air Force secretary giving a speech about transgenders in the Air Force. Instead of making the Army tougher and meaner and more ruthless, we have a maniac running the military who is proud to say that sex change operations, which they now call transitioning, will now be covered under the VA bill. Now, a true veteran, someone who fought in combat, might rot in a hallway waiting for treatment. But let's say you're a John and you want to be a Jane, or a Jane and you want to be a John. No problem, you go right to the head of the line. And if you think I'm making it up, nobody could make something like this up. Here is the Air Force Secretary, Deborah Lee James, who never flew a Piper Cub, put into the position by Barack Hussein Obama on the issue of transgenders in clip 15.
I think the review on the transgender policy should be complete within the next few months would be my best guess. It's proceeding. These are somewhat complex issues. And by the way, I am certain that the policy is going to change. I'm certain that transgenders will be allowed to serve in a more open way. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get some of the particulars figured out.
That is so good. You know, you should put more resources into figuring out how to make sure transgenders can serve in the Air Force. Don't put any more resources into teaching the boys how to kill the enemy. Don't put any more resources into replacing the broken parts in the F-A-18s. Put no resources into training new men to fly those combat jets. Instead, spend the precious few resources that are given to you on the most pressing issue of the U.S. Air Force, and that is to how to make certain that transgenders are more comfortable in the United States Air Force. This is what I mean when I say borders, language, and culture. We are seeing the meltdown of our culture under Barry Hussein Obama like you could never imagine. It's as though, picture the most, go back to the college years, and many of you went to college. Now think of your most radically crazy professor. Think of the nuttiest, the most stupid professor you ever had, totally locked into the left-wing shibboleths of the time. And you learn to, like, listen to it in order to just get through the course. Now take that professor, put the professor into the presidency, give him all the power in the world, and then let that professor take all the power he can because of a supine Congress and a non-existent press. And now you know what's going on in America. We have an out-of-control, lunatic, left-wing college teacher running the country. That's all. And that's why we need the antidote. The antidote to this toxic snake poison is Donald Trump. Trump is the antidote to the Hussein snake poison. Now I'll take some calls. KSFO, Fred, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I just wanted to say how saddened I am with the recent occurrence in Tel Aviv. It just saddens my heart. And one other point, Michael. I am so disgusted with the 1965-66 culture that has grown up and taken over America.
Yeah, you don't have to say any more. How could an Air Force be concerned about transgenders instead of killing ISIS murderers? How could they not be focused on wiping ISIS off the planet instead of making transgendered feel good in the military?
And when I came home, I was spit on, scratched, and kicked. And I just can't...
Yeah, they're running San Francisco now in America. The vermin who kicked you and spat at you are now running America and San Francisco. Take a look at the next bum in the street who defecates in front of your daughter, and you'll know who let him do it. It's the same garbage called the supervisors that you have now. Idiots, morons.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, well, I can vent, you can't. Thanks for the call. I can vent, you can't. 855-400-7282. Savage Nation. Very sad day. This is what happens when you let your guard down. For 1 second. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, no, I don't have a break right now. I don't even want one right now. WMAL, Sandra, line two. Go ahead, please. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I would just like to say I'm active duty military, and I just cannot believe what we are focusing on, as in the transgender, making them more comfortable in the Air Force. I cannot believe that's what we're spending our very small funds on, and we're being cut everywhere we look, and that's what we're going to spend money on. I can't believe that's happening.
Well, I felt that I had to give it out here, because this is what you have when you have a mad college professor running the country. His priority... Look, when the definitions of insanity are quite varied. It ranges all across the map from someone who is walking the streets and talking to themselves, hurting others, hurting themselves, to somebody whose reasoning is deranged. Deranged reasoning is also a mark of insanity. By that definition, we have an insane president. How else can you describe a man who would mandate that transgendered issues take priority in the military over every other issue? When we're facing an existential fight for our life against the mad, crazy ISIS idiots.
Safety is not...
Let me send you a copy of Government Zero. It's still a great book. It has a great chapter entitled Zero Military, and has spelled it out in great, great detail. And I'm sure that you won't enjoy reading it, but you'll be edified by reading it. Now, what else can I say to you? My friends, the big problem here... is that Hillary's America will make these things worse, not better. And I think that's what we have to be focused on. Did you see what the migrants did in Germany, the Muslims over there? All of you apologists for Islam? The migrants burnt down a refugee resettlement center in Dusseldorf because they were not given a wake-up call for Ramadan. That's an absolute true story. You can see it on michaelsavage.com from... A social site in Germany with actual pictures for those of you who are apologists for radical Islam. Muslim asylum seekers burnt down their asylum shelter in rage because the migrants were angry because of Ramadan. Isn't diversity wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we have Hillary Clinton who wants to make sure that we love everyone no matter how they worship and what they worship? Isn't it a sign of progressivism to not be so focused on your religion, your race, and your nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, there's the sound of peace. For sure that's the sound of a religion of peace. Shooting in Tel Aviv tonight. We have a caller right now on the line from Tel Aviv. Mike, on line five, you're on the Savage Nation. Mike, where are you in Tel Aviv right now?
Actually, I'm right in the northern part of the city, which is not far from where I live. It's an honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage. I'm originally from Baltimore, and I've been living here for about 30 years.
Forget me and you. Tell me about the shooting. Where did it occur in Tel Aviv? How did these Muslims who were disguised as Orthodox Jews pull this off?
In an area which was just regentrified, in a very popular new shopping and eating area that was really an attraction for a lot of European tourists because it was... Supposedly multiracial. It was a place, as you know, in Tel Aviv, it's a city which attracts a lot of the transgender and the gay community. And this is the real shock, is that they tried to shake up the civilian population once again.
But I know Tel Aviv is the liberal of the two cities compared to Jerusalem, which is more... religious, obviously. When I was in Jerusalem many years ago, I was very impressed with the intensity of the Arabs and the Jews and the Christians walking the streets. And it was a certain austerity in Jerusalem that I saw. Of course, Tel Aviv was the opposite. The Tel Aviv was the San Francisco of Israel, wasn't it?
Yes, but the proximity of this attack was directly adjacent to the main defense complex. The Israeli equivalent of the Pentagon was literally one block away.
I see. That's your main point. And that's stunning to you that the terrorists could get away with it. Why do you think they were able to to pull this off. I mean, they don't frisk every citizen in the street, do they?
Orthodox Jews. And they walked into the restaurant and then pulled out machine guns and started shooting.
No, I understand that. That's a terrible thing. But what I'm asking is, these are no doubt Palestinian Arabs. Don't they have to come through a checkpoint to get into Tel Aviv?
They were two brothers which came in from the West Bank city of Hebron.
No, I understand, but if they came in, how did they get the machine guns?
Well, obviously they got help from the inside. This is an ongoing problem.
I see. Okay, so Palestinians who are blended in with the general population, the so-called peaceful Palestinians, had the machine guns waiting for the two brothers who came to commit this act.
That's correct.
Well, what's the solution to this? Israel built a wall between themselves and the Palestinians, and it reduced the terrorist incidents by an enormous number. In other words, there were an awful lot of bombings and such, and then they built a wall, and the American liberals were screaming that they were racist for building the wall, the same crap that we hear about Donald Trump wanting to build a wall with Mexico. But the Israelis went ahead despite the objections of the idiotic left, and they built the wall. And did that not increase the security of most law-abiding peaceful civilians?
Absolutely. It bought us a period of calm, and there was a large reduction in these incidents. But as you see, they're still able to get through.
Yeah. But the incidents would be greater if there was no wall with the West Bank, I would guess, because they were pretty out of control before those checkpoints were put in and the wall was established.
And Dr. Savage, I have a question for you, please.
What?
A lot of us here in Israel would like to understand why, in this current election, so many of the so-called conservatives are doing everything possible to elect Hillary Clinton, which would be a disaster for Israel.
Well, which conservatives do you mean? Name them.
Well, you have the Bill Kristol, Weekly Standard.
Let's start with him. He's not a conservative. He's a quisling. He always has been. I've called the magazine the Meekly Standard ever since I was on the radio. Bill Kristol has always been a weak kind of guy, a classical Upper East Side New York Jewish liberal type who inherited the money to build a little magazine. He's a little a schmendrick. Do you know what a schmendrick is in Jewish?
MSNBC, like the silver...
But do you know what the Jewish word schmendrick means?
Of course.
All right, well, Bill Kristol is known as a schmendrick. Don't call him a conservative, please. All right, next. Who's on your list of other so-called conservatives who are undermining the conservative movement? Who would that be?
MSNBC.
Who?
Hugh Hewitt, the silver-haired conservative.
Oh, Hugh Hewitt is an unrated talk show host on an unrated network. He has no value whatsoever, absolutely no ratings. Nobody listens to him. He was handpicked by the Republican National Committee to attack Donald Trump. Before then and after then, he's an unknown host from an unknown network. Next case. Who else? Who's a real player?
So-called lovers of Israel who are writing blogs in the Washington Post, 3 and 4 articles a day, promoting Hillary Clinton, and they claim that they are conservatives.
Who would they be? You got to give me the names, and I'll tell you who they really are. I mean, I don't know who these people are. She has unlimited funds. She could buy people to write anything and call themselves whatever they want and put out propaganda for her. Look, Israel really will have to go it alone if she wins. She will turn on them like the jackal that she is. I think that the days of the Democrat Party supporting Israel 100% are long over. In fact, if you recall the shameful period when the Democrat Party voted against a Netanyahu when he arrived in America, they stood up and basically booed him. They're not your friends. The Democrat Party are not the friends of Israel, but I've got a sad note for you, Mike. Most American Jews don't care about Israel anymore. Did you know that? They've been so washed down and they're so far from their own heritage and race, they don't even care about Israel. They don't care about America, and they don't care about Israel. They have no concept of borders, language, and culture, so why would they care about Israel?
You're 100% right. We know that we're alone, and we're on our own, and we're just just going to have to do what we can to survive. But
well, who is Israel's greatest ally right now on a national level, on a nation state level? Who are you cooperating with in a military manner, for example, who you consider an ally? Egypt is certainly not your enemy right now, is it?
No.
And the reason Egypt is your friend right now is because Hillary Clinton didn't win in her attempts to put the Muslim Brotherhood back into Egypt. She tried to get the Muslim Brotherhood to run Egypt, and the people threw them out. So, yeah, I understand what's going on. Is Turkey on the fence with Israel or what? He says one thing and does another, Erdogan. Where is he today?
It depends what day he wakes up or what side of the bed.
Whether he had halava or not the night before, I guess.
Right.
What about France, the little guy in France? Which side is he on?
Also, it depends if they're getting their money from Hezbollah, if they're getting their money from Iran. You just have to follow the money.
How about the oven stuffer in Germany? Which side is she on?
Well, she likes to pretend that she's a big friend and supporter of Israel.
Well, I understand that's because of Germany's embarrassing past with the Jews. But in fact, the fact of the matter is she's flooding Germany with Muslims. How does that figure?
Right. And Israel also has a relationship with Putin because of the large Russian population.
I was going to ask you about that. Putin, of course, was the reason that ISIS is even on the run. It's only because of Putin. Obama made believe he was fighting ISIS. He never was. ISIS was raging across the Middle East until Putin stepped in. And as the strong man he is, he put them in their place and drove them out of one of the major cities. Where is Russia with regard to Israel today?
Look, I think that there's an unspoken cooperation. We all know about it between Russia, Putin, and the Israelis. I think there is an unspoken cooperation. We know about it. We've seen Putin has been here, and we've seen that the military cooperates. Look, Israel has to try and have as many channels and allies as possible.
Let me ask you a question. Just a caller from Tel Aviv on a terrible day like this. We're having a human conversation. What made you move to Israel? You said you were living in Baltimore. Why did you make Aliyah and move to Israel? What motivated you?
Oh, it's a long story, but, you know, while you ask me that, I want you to know because you're a dog lover, and I wish I could buy Teddy and Me, but it doesn't exist in Israel.
It hasn't been translated to Israel, to Hebrew yet. No, but come on, why would an American Jew move to Israel in a day like in these times? Why? What did you move there for?
When I did my army service, she was also serving in the military with me.
Who? Your wife?
Labrador Retriever.
Oh, I thought you said you met your wife in the Israeli military, but instead you told me you met a dog?
No reason. The reason I came here was after my father died, and I have a similar story that you have with your father. After my father died from Baltimore, I took a trip to Israel, and I liked it so much. I met a girl, and I just continued. I stayed. I was right out of law school, and then I retrained to learn all of the laws in Hebrew, and then I went to work for the government in the Attorney General's office, and I just stayed all these years.
Don't they make you go into the military there if you make Aliyah?
Absolutely. I went to work in the Judge Advocate General's office initially because I was a lawyer, and then I went out.
Tell me about women in the Israeli military. Do they serve in combat roles?
Look, it depends. Most, they have a choice, and they can apply, and of course the Army decides if they're up to it or not. But most of them serve in the hospitals, and they serve in the old age homes, and they do a variety of different tasks.
When I was in Israel, and I'm talking in the late 70s, we ran into an Iranian Jewish woman, the most stunningly beautiful woman we'd ever seen in our life. She was also a paratrooper from an old Iranian family that was in Israel. But there are many women in the military in Israel. Is it mandatory for women to serve, isn't it?
Absolutely. Unless they get an exemption for being, you know, for religious reasons. And when they do, then they go and they do what's called national service, either in an old age home or in a hospital.
Isn't that interesting? So in Israel, you serve one way or the other, either in the military or you serve society. You don't sit at home and go to college and riot. Well, look, Mike, I wish I could send you a book, but I can't. It'll never get to you in Israel. I mean, I'll put it on hold for you. The next time you're in America, call me from a local station. Call me from WMAL back in Baltimore when you're there. In the interim, what can I say other than this is a terribly sad day, and I think we've had a very, I think, interesting conversation between two human beings on a horrendous day where, again, the face of the religion of peace has been seen. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Just remember this. I'm going to be your champion. I'm going to be America's champion because, you see, this election isn't about Republican or Democrat. It's about who runs this country, the special interests or the people, and I mean the American people.
Well, I certainly think we'd have a stronger national security. I ran into some people in a restaurant last night. By the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation, heard across the country, obviously, for the last 22 years. I ran into some people, I don't know them that well, and I just chatted with them, and they said, who are you going to vote for? Like they didn't know who I was, I guess. I said, what do you mean, who am I going to vote for? I said, to me, the number one issue is national security. On that issue, there's no choice. It's Donald Trump, who will rebuild the military, reinstate the morale of the military, and take on the vermin in ISIS and crush them once and for all. Hillary, on the other hand, frightens me because she will continue the policies that have weakened the military and have made our enemies bolder. And then I guess we all went back to paying our bills or whatever it was. Hillary Clinton under fire for wearing $12,495 Armani jacket during inequality speech. In an effort to upgrade the outdated pantsuit uniform, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had a wardrobe overhaul. She wore a $12,495 Giorgio Armani tweed jacket, my friends. So that's it. What else is shocking? The First Lady taking Air Force Two or another Air Force One on a vacation to South America and no one saying about it, a thing about it, because she's above the fray. Getting back to the tragedy and the massacre by the Palestinian Muslims in Israel, which you'll be reading about and hearing about later on, I'm sure. And as I reported, a new shameful moment has occurred on MSNBC where an Egyptian-American propagandist hired by the vermin who run MSNBC had the audacity after the murder of the innocent Jews to report that they got what they deserved because of their policies. Check it out. See if I'm making it up. Incidentally, Golda Meir said it all when she stated the following. Peace will come when the Arabs will love their children more than they hate us. But that day has not arrived. The Arabs today still teach their children to hate and to kill. They send them to special Hamas schools where little children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, are given toy guns and taught to kill, not to love. So when peace will arrive on earth, I don't know. I doubt it'll ever arrive on earth. The history of mankind has been one of blood, war, and conquest. It's never been any different. Blood, war, and conquest. There is not a nation on earth that has not been built on blood, war, and conquest. The only strange phenomenon that we are witnessing today is the invasion of our nation without a shot being fired. Because never before in history, and I am a student of history, have the demographics of a nation been changed so rapidly without the nation first having lost the war and been conquered by the invaders? I know this is a troublesome statement for those of you who are progressive dreamers, but it's a reality. But since you never learned history, you're condemned to repeat it. Read your Santayana who said that those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. You are now the conquered, and you're willingly welcoming the conquerors. or throwing flowers to your enemies. One day you'll wake up, but it'll be too late. There'll be no one left to help you.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What we have confirmed is that it was a terrorist attack that took place here in Tel Aviv this evening. Two suspects, as far as I know, have been apprehended at the scene. I can confirm that one of them was shot, and I'm not sure what his condition is.
Well, we've been talking about two topics today. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I think both topics have a relationship. One is, who do you want to be president? Hillary Clinton, a pacifist in one regard, or Donald Trump, a militarist in some regard, meaning a nationalist, which is what I think we need in order to survive as a nation. Not I think. History will dictate that we need nationalism to survive as a nation, especially after 8 years of Barry flooding us with people who hate this country and are doing everything they can to undermine us from the level of borders, language, and culture on to every other thing you can imagine. I don't know what they're contributing to society. I have not seen the Einsteins amongst them that we were promised. I know Mr. Obama likes to tell us that we're a nation of immigrants, but not all immigrants are Einsteins, nor is there a likelihood that a Zika-infected infant from Honduras will be Einstein. And why we are flooding America with such people is beyond me. I say yes, give them care. I say yes, build Zika treatment centers in Honduras, but don't bring them here. The first rule of epidemiology is separate the healthy from the sick. But apparently Barry from Honolulu is so screwed up that he doesn't even know the basics of science. Nevertheless, we're talking about Hillary Clinton, really, and what do you fear most about a Clinton presidency? What do you fear most about this shady, hateful woman is the question. Also, the coverage of the shooting in Tel Aviv is becoming an issue because an Egyptian-American reporter blamed the Jews for the shootings in Tel Aviv today. We're trying to capture the sound, but it's already been purged from the network. We cannot find it. I know it went out there because someone reported it to me, who I rely upon greatly. KSFO, Mickey, welcome to the Savage Nation on Line 2.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. By the way, I always refer to the Democrat presumptive nominee as a Democratic uterus nominee.
Well, but I don't really need to go there in order for us to discuss her failed policies. I really don't care what her gender is. I don't understand why her being a woman makes her more qualified than a man. I don't quite get that. Haven't we seen enough of women in politics to know that they're capable of anything, that they're nothing different, no different than men? Well, what's? I remember the age of the woman. It was in the 90s. We were told, oh, we have to have women in Congress. Let me ask you something. Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Mikulski, are these examples of the womanhood that we have to look forward to in Hillary Clinton? Is that what we want? More of this progressive insanity? I don't think so. So it's nothing to do with uterus. It has to do with insanity. And anyone who would put their nation last rather than first is not my idea of a qualified candidate. It has nothing to do with the uterus. It has to do with a brain that isn't functioning. In addition to that, two-thirds of Americans know that Hillary Clinton is not telling the truth on key issues. Every poll knows she's a liar. So if you want to select a woman, could we not select a woman of sterling character who has contributed something great to the nation and the world? Who would that be? It certainly isn't her. What are her qualifications? That's a huge story. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that her Arab Spring policies have brought more stability or less stability to the world? You know the answer is less stability. So what has she actually accomplished that would indicate that she would be a great president? The answer is nothing. Okay. Charles W., I don't know. We have so many great callers. If you want to join at 855-407-282. 855-400-SAVAGE. James on WCFO Radio, Line 1. What's on your mind, James?
Hello, Michael. The thing that I don't guess it fears me, right at the moment is that if Hillary is elected president, I don't think it'll be long. Because she learns from the past just like everybody else. Things have worked. I think certainly she's got people working on her version of what the Red Brigade, Chairman Mao looked like when he took over China.
Well, we have the equivalent of the Red Brigades operating in America today. They're, in my opinion, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the equivalent of the Red Brigades in America today are the Occupy Movement and Black Lives Matter. That is the equivalent of the Red Brigades.
It will get deeper. There will be operatives in every school level. They already have the arm to bypass legal things that happen in the state level. They're just sitting in the federal first and all they have.
Well, they're brainwashing the children. The Russians had the quote Young Pioneers Movement in the Soviet era. We certainly have the equivalent of the Young Pioneers Movement in America in reverse. Instead of teaching love of country, they teach hate of country. Instead of teaching love of parents, they teach doubt of parents. Instead of teaching love of the nation as it is, they teach the opposite. So it's the opposite of the Young Pioneers. It's the Young International Brigades that are being schooled in our schools. But you fear that it'll become an actuality of what, armed Red Brigade students going around intimidating the middle class?
Exactly. And they'll do it with total immunity from anything because it will be federal. And worse than that, you don't even have to be guilty. And then after they've got a little bit of, hey, we can do what we want, it's going to get worse.
How do you feel about the Fed spending $20,000 to settle every refugee that's coming into America?
Yeah.
$20,000 for every refugee and asylum seeker that comes into this country is eligible for cash, welfare, food stamps, housing, and medical aid, while our veterans are rotting in hallways in VA hospitals. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, because I'm sure as a father, or for your father or someone in your family who's a father, it'll something to lighten it up for the summertime reading. But what people don't know is that in Teddy and Me, there are 10,000 words written by yours truly that I'm quite satisfied with. Let's put it to you that way. They're not fluff words. There are five or six different essays in there about pets and what pets mean that I think are classics. I never talked about it yet. It's funny, the book's been out about 3 weeks now. When I wrote the book, I thought about some great books about animals, such as Travels with Charlie by Charles Steinbeck. And I researched that, and you may not know, but Charles Steinbeck based Travels with Charlie upon the work that preceded him by Robert Louis Stevenson and Travels with a Donkey. People don't know that. In other words, it was a derivative book in that regard. It's a great book, by the way, Travels with Charlie. I'm not diminishing Steinbeck. I love his writing. But it was based upon Stevenson's Travels with a Donkey. And although Teddy and Me is not Travels with a Poodle, it very well could be. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. No one's paying much attention to the dead Jews because, you know, to the media, the Jews are getting what they deserve, so why look at it? You know, Palestinians kill innocent Jews. Ho-hum. Let's move on. People are slashed in the face with knives in New York. Ah, they got what they deserve. They're the 1%. Now, it's true a black woman in a wheelchair was slashed by an unknown assailant in Harlem yesterday. But then again, that's not really a news story either, because it would prove that socialism doesn't work. It would prove that the progressive nature of Mr. de Blasio's administration is failing New Yorkers from the top to the bottom, just as the progressive nature of San Francisco has reduced the quality of life for everyone who lives in the city, from bums defecating in the street to bums urinating in the street to open drug deals in the street, you name it. That's called quality of life offenses that don't seem to affect the gangsters who run the cities in America under the guise of being humanists who are in favor of, well, you fill in the blank. It's whatever the flavor of the day is, transgendered, immigrants. They're for all of it. And in doing that, they keep you from looking at what they're actually doing. in my estimation. So here are some headlines on the Savage Nation. Obama allowing 550,000 illegals into the U.S. each year. That's enough to populate the city of Albuquerque every year. 550,000 a year let in by the college teacher in the White House. That's enough people to populate a city the size of Albuquerque every year. Under Barry, illegal immigration has exploded 57% in less than 2 years. Well, you get the picture. I don't have to read anymore. Many of you don't like it. Some of you are foolish enough to think that all immigrants come here to work without looking at the actual facts. The facts are quite opposite to that. And I am the son of an immigrant. It's important for you to know that. I'm not anti-immigrant. Not at all. I'm not anti-immigrant at all. I'd like a legal process of immigration. I would like immigrants to be screened for diseases. I would like us to select immigrants based upon what they can give this nation as opposed to what they can take from the nation. I mean, that's a rational decision, a position that I've taken. Student who graduated top of her class causes outrage after bragging that she has a 4.5 GPA, nice legs, full tuition, but is in the U.S. illegally. I don't get what that's about. What does illegally have to do with it? She was undocumented? Oh, that the state gave interstate tuition to undocumented students, I see. Well, she's a good illegal. Maybe she'll make something of her life. Maybe she really worked and studied hard. Not everyone who comes here is a freeloader. Some are good. So good for her. You remember the mayor of Baltimore who brought those cases against the Baltimore cops to persecute the police? Remember that? Marilyn Moresby, the Obama of Baltimore. Well, Marilyn Moresby is facing two more lawsuits from different Baltimore cops in the Freddie Gray case. The shock here in America is that Obama is so above the law that he can't be sued for any of his illegal acts. But Baltimore State's attorney, Marilyn Moresby, she's not the mayor, she's the state attorney. Remember that doll? She's facing two more lawsuits from Baltimore police officers charging the death of Freddie Gray. A federal judge unsealed court documents today that show officers Garrett Miller and Edward Nero filed a joint suit against Moresby and Major Samuel Cogan of the Baltimore City Sheriff's Office, according to the Baltimore Sun. The cops' suit alleges false imprisonment, defamation, violation of constitutional rights, claiming that the charges filed against the police officers were trumped up in an effort to quell anger after the Baltimore riots. Well, you know that's what they did it for. They threw the cops to the mobs. They threw the cops to the out-of-control insane mobs. Instead of controlling the mobs of the National Guard, they sacrificed the police. In addition to that suit, Lieutenant Bryant Rice, another persecuted cop, filed suit against Moresby and Cogan for false imprisonment, defamation of character, and violation of rights. This is very interesting. This lawsuit points to the press conference where Moresby made heated rhetoric about the case. These new suits come after news broke that Sergeant Alicia White and Officer William Porter filed a lawsuit against Moresby and Cogan of the Baltimore Sheriff's Office for defamation and invasion of privacy. This is great stuff. I wish that we could sue federal officials for the incompetence and criminality that they are conducting on an almost daily basis. Not all of them, most of them. Big data reports Latino support for Trump on the rise at 37%. I told you that right from the beginning. I'm the only one in the media who called it. The only one. I was the first one. I was the only one. And it was based upon the reality of the Hispanic people that I happen to know as opposed to what I read in the stupid newspapers. Big data reports Latino support for Trump on the rise at 37%. And I told you why. You're not going to read this in any of the reports because they're not as smart as I am. They're not as insightful as I am. They don't know Hispanic people as well as I do because they don't talk to them or they're afraid of them. Most of the people who write these columns never met a Hispanic, but they're experts on it. They're experts in everything. They're experts on child rearing. They don't have children. It's like people in talk radio who don't have children are experts on family values. I love that one. I had a friend many years ago who was an expert on child rearing. He himself was gay. Very nice guy, but he was an expert on child rearing. He didn't know the first thing about it, but he was an expert on it because his mother wrote books on it. I'm not talking about his sexuality. I'm talking about how people think they're experts on subjects of which they've never studied and know anything about it. But nevertheless, the experts on Hispanics in America were all wrong, and I was all right. Why? because it was quite simple. It's just common sense. I watched the Hispanic men that I've known my whole life. They're very macho people. They're not afraid to be men. Actually, they pride themselves on their machismo, as most men did in the history of the world, until the men in America were beaten down and deballed by the radical feminist scissor cutters. But nevertheless, Hispanic men do not like being lectured to by women, especially old white women. Do I have to say any more? That's number one, but that's only one part of the puzzle. The other part of the puzzle is that most Hispanic men who are here are working very hard to build a life for themselves. So who would their role model be but a successful American businessman? That's why they love Donald Trump. He's brash. He's successful. He's macho. He's alpha. He has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. In other words, he's a perfect role model for them. Why would they want to look up to a worn-out woman like Hillary Clinton, who is haranguing everybody from left to right? And that's why she's surging. So although the numbers are 37%, I guarantee you that if you separated out Hispanic men from Hispanic women, it would be probably closer to 75% support for Trump amongst the men. I didn't say the same goes for the women, by the way. It goes for the men. And that's all I can speak about is the male culture. It's the only thing I know about. I know nothing about female culture. I know nothing about how women think, no matter what women want to do. I don't claim to be an expert on it. I never understood that world, and I don't think I ever will understand that world. All I know is to steer clear when they're angry at me. That's funny in its own way. I've never met a woman, by the way, who'll admit she's wrong. Have you ever met a woman who'll admit she's wrong in your life? I mean, if you're... I mean, be serious about it. I haven't... I don't say that it's a lack of character on their part. It's just they believe in themselves, basically. Women believe in themselves. They're always right. Even when they're wrong, you have to say they're right. Or believe me, you'll regret it. That's all I can say to you. But having said that, I only know one side of the coin. I don't claim to know all the sides. I know basically how men think in most societies and most cultures from the beginning of time. And I also know that most Hispanic men are really not that interested in the problems of transgenders in the military. I can guarantee you that since the largest number of Medal of Honor winners happen to be of Hispanic heritage in the U.S. military, by the way, they'd be more concerned with what it feels like to put a bullet through the head of an ISIS member who threatens their family. Just thinking out loud, you know what I mean? This is the Savage Nation. Be back. So Trump shattered the Republican primary vote record by 1.4 million votes, and that's an historic figure. He's attracting more voters for the Republican side than has been seen ever, by the way, in primaries. And that tells us something that you need to know. Forget the delegates for the moment. What's important is the excitement he is creating in you, the listener, you, the voter. Remember, he started with 16 candidates against him. That was more candidates than any major party in history, and he beat them all. Remember in the beginning when he appeared on Michael Savage show, he said, I asked him, who do you want for VP? And he said, first I have to beat all these people. He has more wins than any other Republican or Democrat candidate in this year's race with 36 wins. He has more primary wins with 33. And by the way, he surpassed the number of delegates needed to win the Republican nomination for president even a couple of weeks ago. And many of you Cruz bots were saying, oh, we're going to fight him at Cleveland and this and that. That's over. That's over. He's done it. But he received 13,406,000 votes in the elections so far. As a result, Trump has more votes than any candidate in Republican history. And Trump shattered the previous record by 1.4 million votes. And that was with 17 candidates in the race. Now, let's compare that to G.W. Bush. G.W. Bush had 12 million votes in 2000. Did you know that? Trump has 13,400,000. That's a big difference. And the increase in Republicans coming out to vote is attributed only to Donald Trump, period, end of story. But if you go back in time and you look at a chart of people who actually went and voted in elections, it's very promising for Trump, and I think he could be president. I believe he could possibly win the presidency. And I say possibly because she owns the machine. She owns ABC, CBS, NBC. She owns MSNBC. She owns CNN. She owns Fox News by and large. You know that, and I know that. Forget the Megyn Kelly antics. forget Bill O'Reilly's pretense of being on the other side. You know that the boss tells them which side they're on, and we all know that Mr. Murdoch is on Hillary's side. Everyone's known that. He's an open borders guy. Everybody knows that as well. Anyone who knows the inside story. He's been for Hillary for well over a year now. So she owns the media. The media hates Donald Trump. Now, remember, Trump funded his own campaign during the primary season. Although these results are very impressive, he only spent a quarter of the amount of money as did Democrats Clinton and the Seltzer man Sanders. And so, my friends, this is promising. And I hope that he wins. I hope that he saves our amendments. I hope the Bill of Rights stay for my lifetime. I hope you will want to live where there is a U.S. Constitution and a Bill of Rights that is not trampled upon by an evil empire. And I believe that the Clinton family is the most evil possibility for America. What do you fear the most about Hillary Clinton? Now, I could turn it around and have the foolhardy, the foolish, the weak-minded, the potheads call and tell me what they love about Hillary, but what are they going to tell me? What is she going to bring to America that we haven't seen with Obama? He is flooding America with illegal aliens, not all of whom will become Albert Einstein. I cannot explain to you in great detail, if you don't already know it, that not all immigrants are equal, and that not all immigrants who come here are going to make great lives for themselves, that the majority of immigrants we are getting, the illegals, will never amount to anything in this country. They are coming here as wards of the state from the day they cross the border. They have become wards of the state. And the criminal regime in the White House is spending $20,000 to settle each refugee. $20,000 on every illegal alien they can get their greedy hands on. They become eligible for cash welfare, Medicaid, and food stamps. Now, maybe your grandfather fought in a war for America. He will get less than $20,000 a year from the gangster in the White House. But you see, there's not enough money in the world for Obama to spend. He keeps printing it. And federal taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $20,000 just to settle each so-called refugee and each so-called asylum seeker. They will get immediately cash. They will get welfare. They will get food stamps. They will get free housing. They will get medical aid, according to a new report entitled The Refugee Industry. And as I told you and explained to you in great detail in Government Zero, some of the most prominent Republicans are connected to businesses that are profiting from these so-called refugees. Why, even the Koch brothers, according to my research, are involved in private rehousing industries for these wonderful refugees from Central America. Now I'd like to ask you this question. I know what Trump will do if he loses. Why, he'll go back to being a super successful businessman. And if Hillary loses, well, we know what she will do if she loses. She'll go back to doing what she knows best, pay for play, in the halls of government. But I ask you this, what would old Bernie the 30s communist do if he loses? What is Bernie the communist good for? What can he do for a living? I thought about it, and I figured he could become a greeter at one of Fidel Castro's hotels in Cuba wearing a Trotsky outfit. That might attract some tourism. But I ask you, what will Bernie do when he loses, now that he's got so much attention from all of the losers of America? What is he going to do, go back to Vermont? That's too small a pond for old Bernie right now. Now, the number one question for me today and for you is, what do you fear most about a Hillary Clinton presidency? And do we need a shady, hateful woman as president? Now, I mostly fear, if she becomes president, that there will be an executive order forcing everyone to speak more slowly so the mentally defective and the immigrants who do not speak English very well can follow every word. And there will be federal penalties for anyone who speaks too quickly. That will be considered speechism if she becomes president. Speechism is a very hurtful act, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. In a Hillary America, you cannot speak quickly in English. It will be considered white privilege if you speak too quickly, and it will be seen as an insult to our immigrants from non-English-speaking countries. So what is it that you fear the most about this shady, hateful woman as a president? I told you the other day, knowing that she's surrounded by characters that should be in prison, should have been in prison a long time ago. Do I have to name their names? I won't, because they'll sue me. But just figure it out. All of those who have used the government as a weapon against their political enemies, those who continue to plot to steal as much money as they can while calling it fairness. What do you think this gang will do to America should they take over the power once again? Because remember, this time is the last go-around. This is their last dip at the, let us say, fountain of plenty. I fear that the first thing this Clinton gang will do will be restricting speech. I've told you that the other day. Speech is number one to a free society. Number one is speech. Make no mistake about it, boys and girls. If they can restrict speech by imposing false rules such as the Fairness Doctrine, for example. As you well know, the Fairness Doctrine is a misnomer because all of the television channels, without exception, are extremely left-wing. All of the radio stations are extremely left-wing. There are only four or five people who are conservatives nationally, four, five, six, and locally, maybe a dozen. But that's too much for a dictatorship, as you well know. And so we will need a fairness doctrine under Hillary Clinton, because we are a big-hearted, big, fair-minded country. And we need to be together and to love each other a certain way. And in order to love each other a certain way, we must make sure that hate speech is not permitted in America. And I will define what hate speech is, because I am Hillary Clinton. So number one, speech goes. And then you say, well, okay, there's still the internet. We could go to the internet for streaming radio, Savage. You could always go to streaming radio. Others could go to streaming if they take you off the air. Well, that will be controlled, too. They've controlled streaming in Canada. They've controlled it in Europe, where the fascists are running Europe with an iron skirt, not even iron hoops. Merkel is the descendant of the fascist regimes that ran Germany in the past, but you're confused because you think that she's a liberal. She is a descendant of the Nazi Party in terms of how she is ruling Germany. The only thing missing, she has the exact same policies of squeezing out all opposition. They're not allowed to speak in Germany. They're castigated in Germany. They are investigated and attacked by the federal police in Germany. The only thing missing are the internment camps. They have the equivalent of the SS in Germany, and they're called something else. Well, that's coming to America. Let's make no bones about it. There's no mistake about it. We all know what's at stake. We know she's a monster. We know she has a fascistic tendency. We know she uses liberal platitudes in order to, let us say, ensnare the weak-minded into thinking she's actually for them when she's only for herself. And we also know that she's capable of the worst possible acts. All you've got to do is look back upon the past of the Clinton years. And the litany is almost endless of crimes, misdemeanors, and deaths. Weird deaths surrounding the Clintons. So don't assume that she's going to be this benign, strong lady. It's going to be something like you've never seen in America in the minds of millions of people who have a brain. Now, all of you are sitting there with loaded guns, and what you're saying to yourself is, oh, yeah, I'll give up my gun. They'll have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands. You'll repeat that great speech. You know what, my friends? That's absurd. That's ludicrous. It's not going to happen. You're going to roll over like the patsy you are. You're going to roll over like Richard Simmons. You're going to just give up your gun. The minute the government says that if you don't give up your gun, you're going to be arrested or penalized, you're going to give up your gun. You know it and I know it. So don't sit there and pretend that you're Roy Rogers or John Wayne. You're not. You're just a scared guy with a gun in your closet, and you're going to give your gun up. And so you're going to lose your Second Amendment, then you're going to lose your First Amendment, then you're going to lose your freedom of assembly, wherever that one falls. I suppose that's in the first four. I don't have them in front of me to show you how smart I am. I don't have a copy of the Constitution sitting in front of me and read from it. I can easily find it. It doesn't matter what amendment it is. You understand and I understand who she is. You understand that if she does, by chance, become the president, and of course we don't know what will happen. We know that she's stocking with Obama. They are stocking America with as many illegal fish as they can into the pond in order to dilute the vote of the legitimate fish. They're putting an illegitimate fish into the pond. And I'll say it again, illegitimate, illegal fish are being thrown into the pond in order to make sure that your vote is diluted. That's exactly what this evil man in the White House has been doing from the day he started, right out of the starting gate. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, we come to the end of the show, and you see what's going on. The media has buried the Palestinian terrorist attacks in Israel. Again, they're just pushing Hillary. She crushed Bernie Sanders here in California by about 10 points. That's a big, big difference. That's because she owns the media. Her machine is powerful, and she owns the unions. It's that simple. It's all part of the same Governor Brown, Willie Brown, Dianne Feinstein. You know, you name it. That whole machine was in favor of Hillary, and that's the end of it. Now, the question is not California. The question is America. Does America want to capitulate to radical Islam and capitulate to the invasion from south of the border, or doesn't it? We know that Trump is a flawed human being and a flawed candidate. We understand that. But he's the only hope we have. There's no choice right now. None whatsoever. I have ranked my concerns from top to bottom as follows. Number one, national security, national security, national security. She is an abject failure on that issue alone. She is a disaster. She created the Arab Spring. She initiated the Arab Spring. She owns the Arab Spring. She caused the destruction of Libya. She caused the massive invasion of African Muslims into Europe. She's causing the massive invasion of Syrian Muslims into America. She's causing and abetting the massive invasion of Central Americans into the United States of America, most of whom are wards of the state and will remain wards of the state for many, many years to come. And that's why we have no choice but Donald Trump. What's laughable about it all is that the newspapers have a headline like this. Business Insider. Most conservative radio hosts call for Republican Party to dump Trump at convention. I don't know who these radio hosts are. They're quoting this guy, Hugh Hewitt, who is a loser. Hugh Hewitt is being held up as a conservative. He is an unrated talk show host from an unrated network. Do you want me to read the ratings to you? Would you like to see the ratings if you think I'm just giving you hyperbole? Let's read them together so you know where he stands. So I'll start with what we know to be a fact. Let's go to michaelsavage.com together, and let's look and see where old UU it stands, if we can find them on the list. Because the ratings came in, let's start with digital ratings. A lot of people listen to radio on the digital, right? Are you ready for this? Write it down, idiots. No, most conservative hosts support Donald Trump. The fake plants like Hugh Hewitt hate Donald Trump. He's a functionary of the Republican Party. The TalkStream Live Top 25 Streaming Talk Shows. First quarter 2016. Michael Savage, number one with a 27 share of the audience. Rush Limbaugh, number two with a 15.6 share. Laura Ingraham, 6.9 share. Glenn Beck, 4.7 share. Sean Hannity, 4 share. You go to the bottom of the list and you find this loser. You can find his name somewhere. I don't know where it is. Hey, Hugh Hewitt is number 13 with a 0.9 share of the streaming talk radio audience. Most conservatives? Biased media? Are you joking? Well, I'm not joking. It's all propaganda all the time, except on my show. Have a nice night.